When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
Finally found a fella, almost completely divine. But his vocabulary is killing this romance of mine. We get into an intimate situation, and then begins this Romeo's conversation. He says, murder, he says. Every time we kiss, he says, murder, he says. At a time like this, he says, murder, he says. Is that the language of love? He says, solid, he says. Takes me in his arms, he says, solid, he says. Meaning all my charms, he says, solid, he says. Is that the language of love? He says, a chick, chick, you torture me, zoop, are we living? I'm thinking of leaving him flat. He says, dig, dig, the jumps the old ticker is given. He can't talk plainer than that. He says, murder, he says. Every time we kiss, he says, murder, he says. At a time like this, he says, murder, he says. In that impossible time, it will bring on nobody's murder but his own. He says, Jackson, he says. And my name's Marie, he says, Jackson, he says. Shoot the snoot to me, he says, Jackson, he says. Is that the language of love? He says, woof, woof, he says. When he likes my hat, he says, he says, what the heck is that? He says, woo-woo, he says. Is that the language of love? He says, a hep, hep with helium now, babe, we're cooking. In other expressions to wit, he says, we're in de groove, and de groove is good looking. He sounds like his uppers don't fit. He says, murder. He says, murder. And away he says, murder. In an impossible tone, I've told him over and over and over again that it'll be nobody else's murder. Boy, buddy.
Well, if that doesn't wake you up, what will? That was Betty Hutton from a movie called Happy Go Lucky, a song written by Frank Lesser and Jimmy McHugh called, obviously, Murder, he says. And murder is the topic of today's Broadway to Main Street. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street on WPPB 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, radiating out of a not very radiant day. It's quite rainy and cold. A good day for the murder. Well, killing has always been part of a subtext of the American musical. It's not usually what we think about in the sunny optimism of the form, but as way back as 1924 with Rosemary, Oscar Hammerstein, that great, great Broadway librettist, wrote in a murder of a secondary character. And indeed, death features in many Rodgers and Hammerstein shows. We don't think about that, but certainly Judd gets murdered in Oklahoma, and Billy Bigelow dies in Carousel, and the King dies at the end of The King and I, so my goodness. But we are looking particularly at that, not just death, as it were, but those men and women with murder on their minds. So today's topic is Getting Away with Murder on Broadway to Main Street. Well, let us go back to Gilbert and Sullivan. And Gilbert always had a slightly mordant sense of wit. And here is one of the great songs about what someone would do had they the opportunity to execute people who annoyed them. And of course, I'm talking about Coco from The Mikado.
As someday it may happen that a victim must be found, I've got a little list, I've got a little list of society offenders who might well be underground and who never would be missed, who never would be missed. There's the pestilential nuisances who write for autographs, all people who have flabby hands and irritating laughs, and all children who are up in dates and floor you with them flat, and all persons who in shaking hands shake hands with you like that. And all third persons who on spoiling tete-a-tetes insist, they'd none of them be missed. They'd none of them be missed.
He's got them on the list. He's got them on the list. And then none of them be missed. They'd none of them be missed.
There's the banjo serenader and the others of his race. And the piano organist. I've got him on the list. And the people who eat peppermint and puff it in your face. They never would be missed. They never would be missed. Then the idiot who praises with enthusiastic tone all centuries but this and every country but his own. And the lady from the provinces who dresses like a guy and who doesn't think she dances but would rather like to try. And that singular anomaly, the girl who's never kissed. I don't think she'd be missed. I'm sure she'd not be missed.
He's got her on the list. He's got her on the list. And I don't think she'll be missed. I'm sure she'll not be missed.
And that nisi-prius nuisance, who just now is rather rife, the judicial humorist, I've got him on the list. All funny fellows, comic men, and clowns of private life, they'd none of them be missed. They'd none of them be missed. An apologetic statesman of a compromising kind, such as, what do you call him, a thingamabob, and likewise, never mind. And, tut-tut-tut, and what's his name, and, well, you know who. The task of filling up the blanks I'd rather leave to you, for it really doesn't matter whom you put upon the list, for they'd none of them be missed. They'd none of them be missed.
You may put them on the list. You may put them on the list. And then none of them be missed. They'll none of them be missed.
That was Coco, the Lord High Executioner from The Mikado, getting away with murder, or at least eliminating people off the list. Do you know who that was singing that? Any guesses? Yes, 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 you in the back? Groucho Marx. Well done. Yes, that was Groucho Marx from a 19 some TV Bell Telephone Hour in the 1950s. Groucho always loved Gilbert and Sullivan in his private life, listening on at home on the gramophone records, and got a chance to perform it on television. Well, when we look at getting away with murder on the musical stage, we must always come to what's called a crime passionnel, or women who seem to take revenge on the man who wronged them. The old Frankie and Johnny song, as it were. Here is Cole Porter's little one-act opera, I guess, one-act play about that very subject, sung by Ethel Waters.
Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. She is sorry to be delayed, but last evening down in Lover's Lane she strayed. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When she woke up and found that her dream of love was gone, Madam, she ran to the man who had led her so far astray. And from under her velvet gown, she drew a gun and shot her lover down. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When the mob came and got her and dragged her from the jail, madam, they strung her upon the old willow across the way. And the moment before she died, she lifted up her lovely head and cried, Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Miss Otis regrets she's unable.
Of anybody, anymore.
That was a wonderful jazz and cabaret singer named Barbara Lee, and she's singing a song from that great score to St. Louis Woman by Harold Arlen and Johnny Mercer. Sleep peaceful, Mr. Used-to-be, but a woman who has just shot the man who wronged her. Very interesting idea for a song, isn't it, after the fact? Well, we're looking at getting away with murder, and this is a true fact that in the 1920s, or teens and 20s, when vaudeville was at its height, they often had acquitted murderers go on the road and tell their story and sing a song or two. And that, of course, is the basis for the play, or the movie Roxy Hart, and the musical Chicago, Candor and Ebb. But that kind of character appeared even earlier in the musical Little Me from 1962. Here is Faith Prince to sing a song about a female murderer who gets her spotlight in vaudeville in Dimples.
The Buxbaum Brothers proudly present, direct from her triumphant two-week trial, Miss Dimple Schlumpfert and her chain gang.
Investigation. Oh, dim doggone Dimples.
If I ever go
to the pen. Oh, they did it again.
At 88, he seemed the fatherly kind. You wouldn't think that it would enter his mind. But sure enough, his shining armor corroded as she expressed it when the gun
Mr. Flynn, the reporters are here.
Let them in, Butch. Okay, Roxy, act like a dummy. You sit on my lap and I'll do all the talking.
Mr. Billy Flynn sings the press conference rag. Notice how his mouth never moves. Almost.
Where'd you come from?
Mississippi.
And your parents?
Very wealthy.
Where are they now?
6 feet under.
But she was granted one more start.
The Convent of the Sacred Heart.
When'd you get here?
1920.
How old were you?
Don't remember.
Then what happened?
I met Amos, and he stole my heart away, convinced me to elope one day.
A convent girl, a runaway marriage. Oh, it's too terrible, you poor, poor dear.
Who's Fred Casely?
My ex-boyfriend.
Why'd you shoot him?
I was leaving.
Was he angry?
Like a madman. Still, I said, Fred, move along.
She knew that she was doing wrong.
Then describe it.
He came toward me
with a pistol
from my bureau.
Did you fight him?
Like a tiger.
He had strength and she had none.
And yet we both reached for the gun. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, we both, oh yes, we both, oh yes, we both reached for the gun, the gun, the gun, the gun. Oh yes, we both reached for the gun.
Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, they both, oh yes, they both, oh yes, they both reached for the gun, the gun, the gun, the gun. Oh yes, they both reached for the gun,
Understandable, understandable. Yes, it's perfectly understandable. Comprehensible, comprehensible. Not a bit reprehensible. It's so defensible.
How you feeling?
Very frightened.
Are you sorry?
Are you kidding?
What's your statement?
All I'd say is, though my choo-choo jumped the track, I'd give my life to bring him back.
And
stay away from
what?
Jazz and liquor.
And
the men who
what?
Play for fun.
What?
That's the thought that
yeah.
came upon me
when
we both reached for the gun.
Understandable, understandable.
Yes, it's perfectly understandable. Comprehensible, comprehensible. Not a bit right.
when you're looking at murderesses making a or giving a great vaudeville turn, of course, you go to Chicago. And that was the revival recording. That was Jim Naughton holding that note a very, very long time. Boy, I'm second to none in my admiration for Jerry Orbach, who played Billy Flynn originally in 1975. But boy, does Jim Naughton hold that note better than Jerry Orbach ever could. Well, we're looking at Getting Away with Murder today on Broadway to Main Street, and here is Pearl Bailey to sing a great Rodgers and Hart song written for Vivian Siegel for Connecticut Yankee. It's probably the most, I can't think of too many female serial murderers who have a solo, but this is certainly the funniest. To Keep My Love Alive, sung by the one and only Pearl Bailey.
I've been married and married, and often I've sighed. You see, I'm never bridesmaid. Somehow I am always the bride. But I never divorced them. Well, I just hadn't the heart. Yet remember these sweet words, till death do us part. Darling, I married many men, about a ton of them, because I wasn't true to none of them, because I bumped off every one of them to keep my love alive. Sir Paul was frail, he looked a wreck to me. At night he was a horse's neck to me, so I performed an appendectomy just to keep my love alive. Sir Thomas had insomnia, but he couldn't sleep at night. I bought a little arsenic. Oh, he's sleeping now, darling. All right. Sir Philip played the harp. I cussed the thing. I crowned him with his harp to bust the thing. And now he plays where harps are just a thing. To keep my love alive. You know why? To keep my love alive. Here's the fatal story. You know, I thought, Sir George, this child had possibilities. But his flirtations made me ill at ease. And honey, when Pearl's ill at ease, she just kills at ease to keep her love alive. Sir Charles, my favorite, came from a sanatorium and yelled for drinks in my emporium. Oh, I mixed him a drink. This child is in memoriam. You bet he is, just keeping my love alive. Now, Sir Francis has a crazy name. He was a singing bird, a nightingale. That's why I tossed him off my balcony. I didn't want to hurt him. I just wanted to see if the child could fly. Sir Athelstan indulged in fratricide. He killed his dad, and that was patricide. And one night I stabbed him. I stabbed him by the mattress side to keep my love alive, just to keep my love. Well, I sort of want to keep it alive. You know, I love living. I dig living the most. But about the marriages, we'll have to talk about that on another record, honey.
Oh, and I'd love to talk more about Pearl Bailey on another show. Don't you love the way she works her personality through those great songs? Don't know that Rodgers and Hart would have been so thrilled. But nevertheless, we are looking at Getting Away with Murder today on Broadway to Main Street. And High Spirits is a musical based on Noel Coward's great play from the 40s, Blithe Spirit. It's a great score. And this is an interesting situation. Charles Condamine is a mystery writer whose first wife has passed away. Her name is Elvira, and she comes back from the dead, and she is a ghost, and she wants to entice him to his doom. So this sounds like an interesting love ballad, but if you know the motivation behind it, you'll hear Tammy Grimes trying to lure Edward Woodward to his death. A merry murderer from the great beyond in I Know Your Heart from High Spirits.
I know your eyes by heart. that look of half surprise, so innocent, so wise. I know that smile by heart. I know your smile by heart. And when it's this naive, there's something up your sleeve. I know that smile by heart. You're lean, you're lithe, you're delightfully blithe, disgracefully full of grace. So clean, so neat, so deceitfully sweet is every feature of your face. And what's more, I know your heart by heart. It's light as a feather, tougher than leather, so I'll go on wondering whether we should be together or apart. I'm drawn to you, but I'm on to you. I know your heart by that cheating heart by. I know your heart by heart. I know your eyes by heart.
Just follow me, my dear.
Delightfully blithe, disgracefully full of grace.
Up above the world we're soaring.
So clean,
let's fly.
So neat,
let's fly.
So deceitfully sweet,
so high in the sky
is every feature of your face.
Come on now.
I know your heart by heart.
I double dare you.
It's right, I'd rather be tougher than the weather. So I'll go on wondering whether we should be together.
Brings a perfect little
Patricia Elliott and Victoria Mallory from the original cast album of A Little Night Music, two women who are torn in that thin line between love and murder, in their case, their respective husbands. Well, let us turn to, if that's how we say, murder on a domestic level, let us turn to murder on a global level, and let's look at two great criminal masterminds for whom murder is second nature. The first you'll recognize from the very beginning of The Three Penny Opera by Kurt Weill and Bertolt Brecht in one of the most amusing and I would have to say somewhat frustrating matchups in musical history. This is Lotta Lenya, who of course is always braided with the music of Kurt Weill, and Louis Armstrong, who brought Mac the Knife into a pop hit. And let's see if they can kind of work their musical magic together in a complimentary way. Let's see what you think. Mac the Knife.
Look, there goes Mac the Knife.
Shark has a pretty teeth, dear,
and he shows them pearly white.
Just a jackknife has Mackie, dear,
and he keeps it out of sight when the shark bites. So with his teeth, dear,
scarlet billows start to spread.
Fancy gloves, though, where's McKeith, dear?
So there's not a trace of red. Oh, on the sidewalk, Sunday morning, lies a body oozing light. Yeah.
Someone sneaking around the corner. Is that someone, Mac the Knife?
Yeah. From a tugboat by the river, Bubba, a cement bag drooping down. The cement's just for the weight, dear. Bet you Mac he's back in town.
The Louis Miller disappeared, dear, after drawing out his cash. Did our boy do something rash?
Look here, Suki Tadri.
Jenny Diver.
I said Lottie Lenya.
So with Lucy Brown.
Oh, the line forms on the right, dear.
Now that Mac is back in town.
I assume, my dear Holmes, that you are wondering what happened to your man, Murillo. His death was crude, but yours will be a work of art. I shall miss you, Holmes, for in truth we are fellow connoisseurs, and it grieves me, Holmes, to eclipse such an intellect as yours. I've enjoyed each thrust and parry and riposte. Yes, your genius was indeed a match for mine, almost. I shall miss you, sir. I regret your reversion into dust. Life is hard, dear Holmes, and one does what one must. Your demise ensures the unobstructed birth of an empire that will circumscribe the earth. Observe Von Herder's masterpiece, a fantastic chronometer of death, which once begun cannot be touched without producing detonation. Oh, you can't know how profoundly I shall miss you, Holmes, though your death is essential to my schemes. You must die, dear Holmes, yet as strange as it seems, I shall mourn as I have never mourned before. When the stately Holmes of England is no more.
I love that gong at the end. That must be courtesy of orchestrator Don Walker. Those were two criminal masterminds of Victorian England, the first Mac the Knife, the second, of course, Professor Moriarty, from the musical Baker Street, in which he plans to eliminate his great rival, Sherlock Holmes. That song was actually an interpolation to the score, I think on the road, or by the time it came to New York, by Jerry Bock and Sheldon Harnick in an uncredited assist, as they say. Well, we're looking at Getting Away with Murder on Broadway to Main Street today, and most of our songs so far have been somewhat humorous or somewhat reflective. This is where murder becomes not only important and serious, but part of our national character. And of course, I'm talking about Stephen Sondheim's musical Assassins, which deals with half a dozen would-be or successful, unfortunately, presidential assassins. And here is the number and shows the effect of murder in a much less humorous way. This is how the nation reacted to the assassination of John Kennedy in Something Broke from the first Broadway, we'd say the revival, but it hadn't appeared on Broadway, the Broadway production of Stephen Sondheim's Assassins.
I was out in the yard taking down the bed sheets when my neighbor yelled across,
"The president's been shot."
I remember where I was, just exactly where I was, in the yard out back.
"The president's been shot."
I was getting me a shoe shine,
folding sheets,
when I heard,
"We were waiting for a carriage,
newsboys."
Suddenly they're shouting in the street,
"Lizzie's sheet.
The president's been shot."
I'll remember it forever.
And I thought,
where I was, what I was doing.
Something just broke.
The president's been shot.
My God. I was up near the ridge, plowing.
We were working at the plant.
I was halfway through correcting the exam.
When my wife,
it was Mike,
she comes tearing across the field.
Mike the foreman,
in runs Billy.
I mean, he was crying.
He was crying.
She was crying.
I'll remember it forever.
And I thought,
the president's been shot.
You know what? There are presidents who aren't worth a lot.
I kept thinking,
there's the kind that gets elected then forgot.
Mr. Garfield,
Mr. Lincoln, he's a hack.
Bill McKinley,
he's a giant,
he's a joke.
Still, something just broke.
The president is rallying. The president is sinking. The president is dead.
Something just broke.
I was down at the exchange.
Something just made a little dent.
I've been shopping.
I've been sick.
Something just broke.
All I know, it was a Friday.
Only for a moment.
I remembered exactly.
Something got bent.
I'm taking the order.
Something just left a little mark.
I was getting dressed.
Two potato soups.
Something just went a little dark. Something just went.
And I wondered.
I was scared of
what would
something
follow.
Something to be mended.
Made me wonder who we are.
Something we'll have to weather.
He was seeing all those
bringing
torches.
Us all together.
He was me.
He was
if
us.
Only for a moment.
I'll remember it forever.
Has really ended.
Where I was.
What I was doing.
Only just been suspended.
Like a flash.
Cause something just stirred.
And I thought.
And I thought to myself.
And I thought.
Just woke.
And I thought.
I kept thinking. Something just spoke. Something I wish I hadn't heard. Something bewildering occurred.
Fix it up fast,
please.
Till it's just smoke.
Till it's only something just passed. Nothing that will last.
Where I was, what I was doing.
Nothing but the moment.
Just an awful moment.
But something just...
That was from Stephen Sondheim's Assassins. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and we've been looking at those characters in the American musical who are getting away with murder. And perhaps the most charming male serial killer in Broadway history is currently gracing the stage, even as we speak, at the Walter Kerr. I'm talking about A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, which was last year's Tony Award winner. It's based on the source material that the film Kind Hearts and Coronets is based on, and you have a young man who is working his way through an aristocratic family in England in the Victorian era, trying to become the heir to its fortune. So here is Bryce Pinkham in a wonderful performance, and you can hear him poisoning away members of the Dasquith family from A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, scored by Robert Friedman and Stephen Lutback.
And I go sailing by, and no one will know where to find us. Unseen, unknown, and blissfully alone, we're leaving the riffraff behind us. All afternoon in our sweet cocoon, our cares for the moment at bay. Side by side, who knows how far we'll glide. Bid the world goodbye, eagerly we fly away.
I'm standing here with poison in my pocket, standing on this frozen little dock. It seems that I've just let them skate my opportunity away. If I'd had the poise to put the poison in a pot of tea or else a shot of gin, I would be back amid the noise of London by the end of day. But I am standing here with poison in my pocket, one eye on the target, one eye on the clock. It better happen soon before I lose my nerve and run. If I had a knife, I could have grabbed him, then discreetly knocked him on the head and stabbed him, not to mention what I would have done if I had had a gun. Then again, the thought occurs, if I had truly taken stock, it might have stopped me putting poison in my pocket. What a fool to travel all this way and not think twice. Murder's not a hobby for the cautious. Thoughts of violence can make the timid nauseous. Unless, of course, the victim plunges headlong through the ice. It appears that I've been handed quite an opportune solution. All that still remains is proper execution. I had better join them on the lake before it gets too late. Suddenly there is no stumbling block. It means that I won't need the poison in my pocket. What a stroke of luck. Sabella teased me till I learned to skate.
Closer now. Time is racing.
Time is racing now.
Time is racing on. It's all a matter of pacing. In a moment, this moment will be gone.
With the rhythm of a violinist, I'm soaring where I think the ice is thinnest, to create a hole through which the tragic lovers meet their doom.
fancy.
One could call this rather diabolic.
Is it strange
to feel a wee bit melancholic? My twinge of some remorse, of course, a conscience, I assume. But no, as I'm cutting, I am contemplating, and the truth is, it's a tad exhilarating. Even though it is not inconceivable that I'll be caught. Still it comes as quite a shock. It seems a novice standing here with poison in his pocket can discover murdering is easier than he had thought.
Bid the world goodbye, eagerly we fly.
This is frankly easier than I had thought. I'm sitting here with poison in my pocket. Look whose head is finally on the block. It seems that now at last the moment I've been waiting for is here. All that's really left to be decided is the dish to put the poison in, provided I can do what must be done discreetly when the coast is clear. I confess, it pains me some to ruin someone's cooking. Oh, for God's sake, now another servant's looking. I have had a run of luck, but this one does require skill. Fish or fowl, it must be well selected so that no one else at all will be affected. What an awful waste to do in someone I don't want to kill.
That was Bryce Pinkham from A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, last year's Tony Award winner. Today on Broadway to Main Street, we've been looking at those characters who get away with murder. And when I was putting this show together, I thought maybe that was a little... I know, counterintuitive. Broadway musicals are always so ebullient and fun and life-affirming, and people get married and they climb mountains and they go on to wonderful, expansive, happy lives when the curtain comes down. And you'd have to leave it to two great geniuses, I guess, Oscar Hammerstein and Stephen Sondheim, to change up the game. As I said earlier, Hammerstein was not at all shy about adding at least death to his shows, The King and I, which we anticipate in a revival at Lincoln Center in April, ends with the lead character dying at the end. But Stephen Sondheim, who we've heard a few songs by earlier in the broadcast, from A Little Night Music and from Assassins, took it to an entirely different level in the 78-79 season with Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. And this is a show for which murder begins almost immediately at the top of the show and goes rambunctiously through this incredible story of Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, and his, maleficent accomplice, Mrs. Lovett, played demonically by Angela Lansbury. And of course, Len Carey, who played Sweeney Todd in the original production. And I remember seeing it. I remember coming down from college on the bus to catch a matinee. And in all my theater-going experience, I'd have to say that was certainly an afternoon where people had never seen anything like it. The degree to which these two lead characters got away with murder was not only shocking and horrifying and thrilling and scary, it was also in the right hands, i.e. Len Carew and Angela Lansbury, hilarious. So here is the end of Act One of Sweeney Todd. And if there are two characters in the American musical who got away with murder with more joy and more theatrical expression, I don't know who they are. Here is A Little Priest from the end of Act One to Sondheim's Sweeney Todd.
That's all very well, but what are we going to do about the Italian?
Later on, when it's dark, we'll take him out of the trunk and bury him.
Well, yes, of course, we could do that. I don't suppose he's got any relatives going to come poking around looking for him. Well, you know me. Bright ideas just pop into my head and I keep thinking. Seems a downright shame.
Shame?
Seems an awful waste. Such a nice plump frame. What's his name as? Ad... nor it can't be traced. Business needs a lift, debts to be erased. Think of it as thrift, as a gift, if you get my drift. Now, seems an awful waste. I mean, with the price of meat, what it is, when you get it, if you get it.
Ha!
Good you got it. Take, for instance, Mrs. Mooney and a pie shop. Business never better using only pussycats and toast. And a pussy's good for maybe 6 or 7 at the most. And I'm sure they can't compare as far as taste.
Mrs. Lovett, what a charming notion.
Well,
and unhappily
it
practical
does seem
and yet appropriate
waste.
As always. Mrs. Lovett, how I've lived without you all these years, I never know.
Think
how
about
be
it. Lots of other gentlemen will soon be coming for a shave. Won't they? Think of
choice
all their
oh, what's the sound of the world out there?
What, Mr. Todd? What, Mr. Todd? What is that sound?
Those crunching noises pervading the air.
Yes, Mr. Todd, yes, Mr. Todd, yes, all around.
It's man devouring man, my dear. And who are we to deny it in here? Ah, these are desperate times, Mrs. Lovett. And desperate measures must be taken.
Here we are now, hot out of the oven.
What is that?
It's priest. Have a little priest.
Is it really good?
Sir, it's too good, at least. Then again, they don't commit sins of the flesh, so it's pretty fresh.
Awful lot of fat.
Only where it's at.
Haven't you got poet or something like that?
Now you see, the trouble with poet is how do you know it's deceased? Try the priest.
Heavenly. Not as hearty as bishop, perhaps, but then not as bland as curate, either.
Good for business, too. Always leaves you wanting more. Trouble is, we only get it on Sundays. Lawyer's rather nice.
If it's for a price.
Order something else, though, to follow, since no one should swallow it twice.
Have you any dean?
No, but if you're British and loyal, you might enjoy Royal Marine. Anyway, it's clean, though of course it tastes of wherever it's been.
Is that squire on the fire?
Mercy no, sir, look closer, you'll notice it's grosser.
Looks thicker, more like thicker.
No, it has to be grosser, it's green.
The history of the world, my love.
Save a lot of graves, do a lot of relatives favors.
Is those below serving those up above?
Everybody shaves, so there should be plenty of flavors.
How gratifying for once to know that those above will serve those down below.
Now let me see. We've got Tinker.
No. Something pinker.
Taylor.
Paler.
Butler.
Sutler.
Potter.
Hotter.
Locksmith. Lovely bit of clock.
Maybe for a lock.
Then again the sweep, if you want it cheap and you like it dark. Try the financier, pick up his career.
That looks pretty rank.
Well, he drank, it's a bank cashier. Last one really sold, wasn't quite so old.
Have you any beetle?
Next week, so I'm told. Beetle isn't bad till you smell it and notice how well it's been greased. Stick to priest. Now, this might be a bit stringy, but then, of course, it's a fiddle player.
No. This isn't fiddle player. It's piccolo player.
How can you tell?
It's piping hot.
Then blow on it first.
The history of the world, my sweet.
Oh, Mr. Todd, oh, Mr. Todd, what does it tell?
Is who gets eaten and who gets to eat.
And Mr. Todd, too, Mr. Todd, who gets to sell.
But fortunately, it's all so clear
that everybody goes down well with beer. General.
Too salty. I prefer General.
With or without his privates?
What is that?
It's fop. Finest in the shop. And we have some shepherd's pie peppered with actual shepherd on top. And I've just begun. He's a politician so oily, he's served with a doily of one.
Put it on a bun. Well, you never know if it's going to run.
Try the fryer, fry the dryer.
No, the clergy is really too coarse and too mealy.
The lactor, that's compactor.
Yes, and always arrives overdone. A coward and when you have judge on the menu. Have charity towards the world, my pet.
Yes, yes, I know, my love.
We'll take the customers that we can get.
High born and low, my love.
We'll not discriminate great from small. No, we'll serve anyone, meaning anyone, and to anyone at all.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.